Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, January 30th, and we are continuing our celebration of National Lutheran Schools Week today on Faith and Family. All week long, we've had the pleasure of visiting with students and faculty and staff from Lutheran schools in the area. Great conversations, and also get to be blessed by their music in chapel as they've all been bringing their choirs to sing for our chapel here at the International Center. And we had some great music today in chapel. And so you get to talk with the students here in just a little bit, and It's a good conversation every day to hear their perspective of what they think about Lutheran schools, right from the horse's mouth, right? Well, I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section, click on the CUW logo, and that'll take you to their page. You can find out about the programs they have to offer and the locations where Concordia University is available. Go check it out, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo there. Our listener lines are going to keep our listener lines closed today, give the students more of a chance to talk. And in our second segment, we'll return to our conversation with Reverend Paul Kane and Reverend Stephen Kaiser of the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. We'll go back to that interview for the second part today during our second segment of Faith and Family. So I hope you stick around for that as well. All good stuff. Well, joining us in studio today, we have got a fine crew from Lutheran High School South here in St. Louis. Joining us in studio, several students and Principal Mr. Ryard. So good to have you in studio today, Mr. Ryard.
Thanks for having us, Andy.
Good to have you back in studio. You've been here before, been our guest on Faith and Family. Also joining us, Austin. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Austin. What year are you, and what's your favorite class?
All right. My name is Austin Kistner. I'm a senior at Lutheran High School South, and I am a big science person. Absolutely love chemistry and anatomy.
Very good. Who are your science teachers for chemistry, anatomy?
Mr. Lynn and Mr. Rush.
Very good. Very good. And Jen, tell us about yourself. What year and favorite class?
I'm Jen Meyer. I am a senior, and I really like biology, but not chemistry like Austin. We're both in anatomy, which is really awesome. And I like foreign languages like Spanish and also English literature.
Very good. Very good. And let's go to Natalie. Natalie, what year are you, and what's your favorite class?
I'm Natalie Mayer. I'm a senior, and my favorite class is German with Frommula Williams.
Very good. Very good. What do you like about German?
Well, now I'm in the upper level class, so we spend a lot of time just like practicing speaking, and it's awesome.
Yeah? Very yeah. good. So do you plan on using that? How do you plan on using German after high school?
Well, I plan on getting a major in it, and as a singer, I sing a lot in other languages, so it's helpful to know what I'm saying.
Very good. That's one of the great things about being a singer. You get to sing in a lot of different languages. I remember studying or singing in choir in middle school and high school, and we sang in probably just about every language that I could think of. I'm sure that we didn't cover all of them, but I remember singing in German and French, Latin, Italian, Spanish, even Hebrew. I mean, just covering a lot of languages. So that's one of the great things about being a singer. And all of you, of course, are singers. Thanks for your music this morning in chapel, by the way. That was a wonderful a cappella presentation of God Loves Me Dearly. Now, do you have a concert coming up anytime in the near future that, or will you be traveling and sharing your music in other places?
On March 9th, we have a sacred concert at Lutheran South. And then at the end of February, we're going to
Omaha,
Nebraska.
Ah, so a traveling group. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Well, check it out. March 9th. I'm going to be an outstanding concert, I'm sure. These are talented and fine musicians. Well, I want to hear your stories. I want to hear about your experience at Lutheran South and what you value about your education at Lutheran South. We've talked about your favorite subject. What are your hopes? What are your plans for after high school? You're all seniors, so you could probably see the light at the end of the tunnel, and you get a little extra time out of class today to come hang out here in the studio. What are your plans? What are your hopes after high school, Austin?
Well, actually, I just committed to Davidson College out in Charlotte, North Carolina for football, and I'm going to go there and double major in biology and chemistry. I'm going to be pre-med, and then I want to go on to med school and then use that medical degree to do medical mission work.
Wow. Very good. Very good. So biology, chemistry, football, you're going to be a busy guy.
Yeah, I'm not going to have a ton of free time, but it's going to be worth it.
Very good. And doing medical mission work. Very good. I saw the story this morning that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has some Mercy medical teams that are being formed right now to travel out and do short-term teams like that as well. So I'm not sure what the minimum age requirement is, but might check it out. Might be a great opportunity. And let's go to Jen. What are your hopes? What are your plans?
I'm going to attend the University of Missouri Columbia. Mm-hmm. Go Tigers. And enroll in the School of Health Professions. And I'm either looking from there after 2 years going into nursing or occupational therapy. Medicine just really interests me, and I want to be able to use that to serve others.
Very good. Very good. So thinking OT or RN. Excellent.
Yep.
Both great, great career fields. I've had the opportunity to work with folks in both fields, and outstanding. Great. If you want to serve people, those are great ways to do it.
I'm excited to see where I end up.
Very good. And Natalie, what are your plans?
I plan on majoring in music. I'm not sure which school yet, but my teachers at Lutheran South have been really helpful making my recorded auditions and that sort of thing. So that's been really nice.
Very good. And also studying German as well.
Right, yeah.
Excellent. Now, are you thinking, what kind of career are you perhaps hoping to pursue in music?
Well, primarily I'm a singer. I play on other instruments too, but focus on vocal performance.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Are you familiar with Erin Bodie here in St. Louis?
Yeah. Yeah, she sang at my church like a year ago, maybe.
Outstanding talent, right?
Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah, a great role model too for
definitely
for young singers. Very good. So you all have plans. It sounds like you've got a pretty clear picture of what you hope to do, what your dreams are. How does your education at Lutheran South, how does your experience, the education and formation that you've gone through at Lutheran South, how does that shape and affect what your hopes and dreams are down the road? How will it help you aim for those goals? How will it help you reach those goals?
I just remember going in as a freshman. It was like, oh, high school. But by the end of these 4 years, I've really realized how valuable the education I've received is, and just that both academically and spiritually I can be challenged and know that whenever I leave, I can always go back and have these people I can rely on for absolutely anything.
So you've got a network, an extended family, it sounds like.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Very good. Austin?
For me, it's all about, you know, building up that confidence in myself and in my faith life. If you'd have told me, you know, going into high school that I'd be talking on the radio, I would have freaked out. But going to Lutheran South, getting the chance to, you know, be a small group leader, lead our small group devotional ministries, it's a great chance to speak not only about your faith, but just gain confidence as a person who you are.
Very good. Very good. Natalie, how was your experience at Lutheran South? How does that help you prepare for your future?
I really appreciate the relationships I've built with my teachers, especially. They've taught me a lot about leadership and that sort of thing. I used to not be so confident and willing to lead others, but now I've really excelled in that area, I think, now. They've helped me.
Well, here's your chance to give your shout-outs to your favorite teachers. I know you've mentioned your favorite subjects. Favorite teachers that you want to mention this morning. go ahead, Jen.
Shout out to Mr. Nations.
Mr. Rec, Uncle Tom.
I'd have to give a shout out to Coach Fawcett.
Very good. Very good. Hopefully there's some extra credit in there too, right? Very good. Well, having the chance to attend at a Lutheran high school, certainly is probably different than maybe what some of your friends experience going to other schools. When you talk with your friends about your experience at Lutheran High School, at Lutheran South, those who don't attend a Lutheran school, what are the questions they have for you? Or what do they think about it? What are those conversations like when you talk with friends who don't go to a high school like yours? Austin, you were shaking, you're nodding your head, you're kind of laughing.
Yeah, it's funny, the misconception about a Lutheran high school. You hear Lutheran high school and a lot of my friends think, oh, it must be Jesus 24/7. And you don't focus on academics, you focus on faith constantly. And while that faith aspect is there, and it's a big part and it's an important part, a lot of people don't realize the quality of education that a Lutheran high school has. That it's a serious high school where you're going to learn a lot and be well prepared for college.
Very good. Yeah. Some of the students throughout the week have mentioned that the Word of God, faith, is a part of everything they study. And I like how you pointed out that that doesn't mean that the academics are going to be any less, but actually, probably, it sounds like even harder because the standard is set high.
One of the things I love is that faith is just interwoven into everything we do. And I think when I get to college, because I'm going to a public university, I'm going to miss that in class. Like in anatomy, our teacher always says, hats off to the creator whenever we notice something just amazing about the body. Mm. I just like recognizing God in those senses, I guess. And people, my friends who don't go to Lutheran South, I think they're kind of like in awe, like the one-on-one relationships we can build just both with the people and the teachers. Like some of my teachers are just as good of friends as kids in my grade, which I love that.
Natalie, when you're talking with friends,
Yeah, definitely. The relationships I've built at Lutheran South are the most important to me, especially with my teachers. It's really like a family. They're like a bunch of aunts and uncles that I have now. It's really nice, and they can talk to me about my faith. And when someone experiences a tragedy, we all come together and we can just focus on how Christ helps us through those tragedies.
Jen, you brought up a good point, and Natalie too, that you've all brought up this point, that you have this network, this family, extended family to support you in your faith. Jen brought up the question: when you go to the university, where especially a public institution, in your classes, your instructors probably aren't necessarily going to hold the same perspective. Their beliefs, their confession is going to be different from yours, especially when it comes to sciences. They're probably going to challenge you, maybe even think you're just weird for believing in Jesus, trusting this God of the scriptures. How are you prepared? Do you think your time at Lutheran South has prepared you for that, for the rest of the world, especially when you go to a public institution or a secular institution? Even if you go to a private institution, you're going to face professors and instructors who don't have that same worldview that we as Christians have. And they're gonna challenge what your faith. They're gonna challenge the what you believe. Do you think your time at South has prepared you for that?
Without a doubt, I took a class last semester called Spiritual Battles, and it was less studying specific parts of the Bible, but more about application to real life. And one thing we studied is the university and like temptations and everything that come with it. And I think over these past 4 years, I know Austin said something about confidence. You just build up this confidence in your faith, and you know that there are going to be people who may not believe the same thing as you, but like God will lead you through whatever you face.
Anybody else want to add to that?
I think the family comes in again, because if I ever, even like 5 years from now, if I ever feel like my faith is being tested, I know that I could call any of my friends or teachers from Lutheran South, and they can encourage me to stay focused on God.
I think a big thing Lutheran South has gotten me into is FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And just being able to bond with your fellow athletes and have that core group who believes the same thing as you do. And I'm lucky enough to go to a college in Davidson where they have a strong FCA in place. And it's not necessarily an openly Christian environment outside of that FCA, outside of that group. But having that core group that I'll be able to fit in with and talk with at the end of the day is really going to be nice.
Have that support. Mr. Ryard, what are your thoughts on how does Lutheran South prepare students for the rest of the world, for going to a public institution where they have a different worldview? How does it prepare students for that?
The main thing we do is spend a lot of time in God's Word. Getting the kids grounded in their faith is huge, and we're an extension of the church and the family. We work all together to try to make sure that the young people are confident. Our teachers work to address the kinds of concerns that the world is going to bring, that mm-hmm. that separate worldview, and show that you can be an intellectually strict person and be a Christian. More and more scientists are finding that out if they're willing to open their eyes. And it's the relationships that the young people have shared about, that's huge. Our unity is in Jesus Christ, and that's a powerful force.
Absolutely. I know some of you, Austin and Jen have talked about sciences and love studying the sciences. Are you familiar with the upcoming debate between Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the science guy? I don't know if you've heard of that or not. It's coming up. It's kind of a big deal. This Creation Museum, Ken Ham, Answers in Genesis. It's right around the corner. It'll be online as well. You can watch it online. Just if you look for that debate for Ken Ham. I can't remember the website off the top of my head, but if you look at it online, it's coming up in just a couple of weeks, actually.
Awesome.
So it's going to be an interesting debate on creation and evolution. Good conversation. Well, we talked about your favorite teachers, your experience. The theme for National Lutheran Schools Week this year is Witness Always. Do you think that the education that you get at a Lutheran school prepares you to tell the good news of Jesus? As you leave from the high school and go out to the rest of the world, does it prepare you to tell the good news of Jesus to your friends, family, other people you encounter?
Yeah, for me. Like I've said, my faith has really developed over my past 4 years at South. And sometimes speaking about faith can be hard, especially being a teenager when you're presented with those situations and it's not always as easy as, oh, hey, here's this. But knowing that you have people that might feel the same way that you do and you can relate to them and talk about ways that you can share your faith, and then the more you grow and the more confident you are in it, it just becomes a part, not something that you're involved in, but a part of you, and you can just reflect that every day through your actions.
Anybody else?
There's a lot of events that I can invite my friends to that aren't like necessarily like a church service, but it's still, the message is there, and so then they're just exposed to that in another environment, like a band concert or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I think Lutheran South does a really great job with their Faith in Action Day. Every group will go out and do a service project either in the fall or in the spring. And it's a great chance to witness. It's a great chance to serve. And I think the thing that South enables the best is spreading the word through actions. We can sit and we can talk and we can say whatever, but if we're not backing it up, especially as high schoolers, especially as teenagers, there's already that negative image of us. And we go out and we can be His hands and feet. We can go out and serve. That helps fix that image for everyone.
And as I understand, service learning is really a big part of your education at Lutheran High School South. As a matter of fact, I think Mr. Gassler mentioned a certain award that three students get each year. What is that?
The Christo Service Award. And we have chapel 3 days a week. And during Lutheran Schools Week, they award the three kids who are just really awesome people and go out there and dedicate their life to Christ and show that to others.
I would say we award three of the awesome kids. There's a lot of really wonderful young people who are part of our community at Lutheran South. We recognize three of them during this week.
And what is it that you're recognizing in those students? What is it that the award recognizes?
Students who go above and beyond in their service. All of our children serve. These are people who are noticed by our staff, who take additional effort, who work behind the scenes, who a lot of times who do things that are much less pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also people who are very involved at their church and in the community. And again, these are three of the young people. There are many who I would say would also deserve this award.
Is there anything that you think your school, a Lutheran school, Lutheran High School, can offer or that can do really well that other schools can't provide or can't do as well?
I feel like there's this sense of belonging, the sense of safety that you're not going to see other places. We have that common tie of faith, but there's so much more that leads to unity, that leads to bonding in ways that mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine a school where you can't sit and pray together, where you can't read the Bible together, where you can't come to someone who shares your same faith and talk openly about things. You don't have to worry about who's around or who's going to hear if you're praying publicly or out loud or in a classroom. It's a really comforting feeling.
And it sounds like you get to be involved in a number of different things. I mean, Austin, you play football, you're studying in the sciences, but you also sing in the traveling choir, you know, in the touring choir. So it sounds like you don't have to choose just one thing. And I know that's what several of our students throughout this week on National Lutheran Schools Week have mentioned, is that at attending a Lutheran school, they really get an opportunity to try several different things and have that extended family, those friendships that build, not just with their peers, but with their teachers and with other families as well at their school. Anybody else want to add anything to that? Anything that your school offers or does really well that no other school can do?
The opportunity to be a leader has been really important to me because I've always seen myself as a follower. And recently I've just been given the opportunity to step up and set an example for underclassmen and for people that go to other schools, and in a way that to show them that how to live in a Christ-centered life.
Opportunities for leadership are great and will serve you well to practice those and develop those skills now so that down the road you can use them in your future vocations as well. We've got just a few minutes left. Before we wrap up, we've got about 5 minutes left. I want to give you an opportunity to thank anyone that you'd like to thank today for the opportunity to be a student at Lutheran High School South and for your experience there. We'll start down here with Natalie and we'll work our way down.
I like to thank my parents, obviously, and to my parents' friends at church who encouraged them, who talked them into thinking that Lutheran South was the best place for me, and it really has been. I'm so happy that I came here. It's really changed my life. And also to my church, who provides scholarships for people like me and other students at my school to help us be able to go to Lutheran South.
Very good.
I'd like to thank my church and my family and my friends, just everyone for support no matter what. My dad's actually a professor at the University of Missouri, and he sees how we're challenged both spiritually and academically, and he's like, you're set, you're ready to go, you'll do great. So just knowing that and having that confidence is awesome.
Very good. Austin?
I'd like to thank my grandparents. They're the ones who raised me. I lost my parents when I was in third grade, and they took me in, and they're the reason that I have this chance to go to a Christian school and a Christian church.
Very good. Mr. Ryard, who do you want to thank for supporting Lutheran High School?
All of the people who do, the parents who trust us with their children. That is a sacred trust that we take very seriously. There are donors scattered all over the country who help make up for operational costs, especially financial aid for families who can't afford it. All of those people are just absolutely key to our being able to serve the young folks. My boss, who is a visionary and tireless worker, all of the people that I serve with at our school, our faculty and staff, just tremendous people. And the students themselves are just full of joy and life, and I'm always glad to go to work every single day.
Very good. And that's a good thing. When you're glad to go to work, you guys sound like you're happy to go to school. Are you kind of sad that the school year is winding down? It's kind of bittersweet, I guess, huh?
I'm so sad. I love Lutheran South. I wish I could spend the rest of my life here, honestly.
But every good thing has to come to an end for a little while, right? And go on to the next thing. Well, you all have bright futures ahead of you. It sounds like you've received many blessings by being a part of Lutheran South and had the opportunity to be a blessing by serving others there as well. I thank you for spending some time with me in the studio today and stepping out of class so that we could talk about your experience at Lutheran High School South here in St. Louis. With just about a minute left, is your last chance to give shout-outs to anybody else.
Shout out to Lutheran South.
Go Lancers.
Go Lancers.
Very good. Well, thank you all for being my guest today here on Faith and Family. It's good to talk with you. Natalie, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
And Jen, good to have you in studio today.
Thank you.
Austin, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Mr. Ryard, thanks for being our guest again here on Faith and Family.
Our pleasure.
God's blessings to you and the fine folks over at Lutheran High School South. And thanks again for singing for us in chapel today. Coming up in the next segment of Faith and Family, we'll continue our conversation on the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. Stick around.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
We've only begun to see how Obamacare is hurting our medical care. If you or someone you know is on Medicare, here's something you need to know. If you're admitted to the hospital, pay close attention. If you're classified as under observation, Medicare will not pay expenses. They will, however, if you're admitted as inpatient. NBC Nightly News recently reported that Mary Jane and her husband are now stuck with a bill of $28,000 because she broke her leg in a fall, had a hospital stay, and needed therapy. Hospitals are saying it's because Medicare is becoming more difficult to work with and in pain reimbursement. As healthcare rationing increases, we'll see more sneaky ways the government is going to cut costs. Please be aware.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Occasionally, you are reading your Bible and come across a passage you do not understand. But you don't want to bother your pastor by phoning him about the text. Don't worry. For the next broadcast of Law and Gospel is an open mic event during which you can phone in and ask any theological question on your mind.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. The psalmist has written, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Indeed, there's never a time in your day when you cannot send a word of praise His way." I invite you to do just that with me Sunday by joining me for Jubilation from 1 to 4 p.m. right here on Worldwide KFUO.
A Pentagon official says chaplains and their commanders are adjusting to same-sex marriage and other changes in the military. Virginia Penrod, Assistant Defense Secretary for Personnel Policy, told a House subcommittee,
"I conducted a teleconference with over 30 of our hardworking chaplains in the field. I asked if they were allowed to preach or practice according to the tenets of their faith. The response was an overwhelming yes."
But Washington National Cathedral's Bishop to the Armed Forces, the Right Reverend James Magnus, said chaplains who pray in Jesus' name risk offending non-Christian troops and harming unit cohesion.
"When in uniform, my responsibility is to care for all those who are present, not just those of my own faith tradition. For all people, Christian, Jew, Muslim, non-theist, straight, gay, or lesbian, all people."
The new law funding the military calls for a survey to determine if restrictions on the prayers of military chaplains outside of religious services are hindering their ministry. I'm Steve Coleman.
Thank you for joining us for Faith and Family. Today's program is pre-recorded, so the listener lines will not be open. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the program. Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you this afternoon in our continued conversation on Lutheran education. Today, we're continuing the conversation from yesterday on classical Lutheran education. Our guests in studio today are the Reverend Paul Kane, pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and headmaster of Martin Luther Grammar School in Sheridan, Wyoming, and Reverend Stephen Kieser from Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Evansville, Indiana. And yesterday, we were talking about the role that Latin plays in classical Lutheran education. And you gave a clear picture as to what role it plays, not only in education, but in society in general, how it's the foundation of many things for language and in sciences. Latin really is a good foundation. If anyone has watched a movie such, you know, any movies you've seen that, there are several movies that demonstrate the value of learning Latin. I was just recently saw, it's been out for a while, Aquila the Bee. I don't know if either of you have seen that movie, but the Spelling Bee movie, how important it was for her to understand the origins, the language of origin of all these words in order to learn how to spell them correctly. Once she got that, she was able to take off and do really well. And I think what you've demonstrated with Latin really has how it serves as a foundation for so much in classical education really is important. What else? We've talked about Latin. You've mentioned a little bit about math. Other aspects or disciplines of classical Lutheran education that you'd like to talk about, how they might be different from what you would experience in a regular mainstream educational setting.
One thing that I think is different, and remember, I'm a teacher that mm-hmm. taught in a non-classical school. That was my beginning. Mm-hmm. So I compare what I did or didn't do then to what I started doing after pursuing classical education. One of the things I think is the original sources for the kinds of things that children learn from over and against a textbook or simply a textbook. For instance, I can remember when I taught prior to classical, prior to teaching in a classical school, we use a reading anthology, and you would read maybe a chapter or two from a book, and it was done more thematic, and you would find pieces of stories that you would put together under that theme that the textbook author had decided. The classical education would take novels. They would take great books. They would take even historic documents. So, for instance, rather than reading about the Constitution of the United States and maybe just little snippets, or rather reading about the Declaration and what the textbook author says was meant, you read the Constitution. You read the Declaration. You read what the original authors wrote and discuss it. So that emphasis on original sources is big. And as you get more involved in, as you grow up in classical schools, you even consider those documents, if they happen to be in a foreign language, in their original language, if they happen to be in Latin, like you mentioned earlier, to study those documents in their original languages. So we want children to not learn about these things from someone else's perspective of what someone else said, not what a textbook author says that the founding fathers meant. Read it yourself and let's discuss it. We can all read it and we can all discuss it. So that would be another aspect. Original sources, foundational to a classical education.
And young children can memorize so well. Knowing those original sources has led to some interesting opportunities for our scholars. We have a standing invitation from one of the district judges in Wyoming for our students to come in and recite the preamble to the Constitution, Gettysburg Address, and three of the four stanzas of the national anthem, plus the Wyoming song, at the naturalization ceremony for brand new American citizens. And it's very inspiring to go and hear, even if you've gone before and before and before, they're applying their incredible memorization capability, because sometimes we don't have as high expectations for children as what the Lord created them to be able to handle. And it's such a joy to see them shine and enjoy what they're doing.
How does classical Lutheran education shape children's minds? How does it shape society and culture? How does it shape families? How does it affect families and culture and society?
One of the things that I have come to appreciate about the idea of classical Lutheran education is that it makes us ask the question, who are we? What does it mean to be a human being? And how did we come to be? Mm-hmm. You know, and we have answers to these questions from the scriptures, of course, that God made us, God made humanity in the Garden of Eden. And we have that story, that true story from the scriptures. Classical education also asks the question, well, what happened after the fall and how far did we fall? It takes into consideration that the fact that children are born blind, dead, and enemies of God. It starts with that basic theology. It says that children by nature don't want to be catechized in Lutheran schools. Children by nature don't want to sing hymns. Children by nature don't want to read the scriptures. This is their nature. We don't start out in Lutheran education by saying that a child is naturally good, and that if we simply allow this child to make choices in education, that the child will choose the right thing for themselves. That God gave us parents for a reason in their relationship to children. And it seems like a lot of modern education has this concept of constructivism. And what constructivism is that since children, the assumption has to be that children will make good choices. And so the child constructs his or her own learning environment and sort of determines his own education by making choices. We set before them a buffet of opportunities, and the child can go and say, oh, I think I'll do this. And if I want to spend all day doing this, that's fine. A classical education says, no, children need to be taught. They need to have teachers that God teaches us in his word to train up a child in the way mm-hmm. that he should go, not only catechizing, but also that in Lutheran education, that we would take those children and we would determine things for them that would be good for them and their education. And in a way that would not be oppressive, as if we're oppressing kids, but really that we would teach them the things that lead to the freedom of thinking, the freedom of the mind. Liberation in education is what classical education is all about. Rather than if a child just chooses a path that's this way and it happens to be a dead end, well, at least he got to choose what he wanted to do today. But rather, we would want the most well-rounded child. Mm-hmm. That's a classical education, understanding their place in history based upon their forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve, and who they are and what their own sinful inclinations are. At the same time, who they are in Jesus Christ. What does their baptism now mean as one who is blind, dead, and an enemy of God, and yet also one who has been given the gift of eternal life in their baptism? So these things come together, I think, that we ask that fundamental question among classical Lutheran educators. What is a child? And what sorts of things are good for his baptism through grave, font to grave? What sorts of things catechetically do we want that child to, that is part of our tradition, but also what things will open his mind to the world around him, to be sensitive to things around him, his community, but also all of his environment?
The starting point and the ending point that you described, the starting point seems so different from this individualistic society that we're in. When you said, you know, the starting point must be that the thought must be that children will just make the right choice without an education, just from the very beginning, that they'll make the right choice. But they obviously can't without an education. They're, because we are born in sinful flesh. And the end point sounds so different than an individualistic society. Someone who's sensitive to what's around them, that they actually care about what's around them, not just about what's important to me, but caring about the people around them, the things around them. That's a little bit different than the society we live in. So absolutely. I can see how that would...
You're baptized into community. Mm-hmm. That is baptism. We are baptized into community, the one name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And therefore, we have a Catholicity in that sort of a way via our baptism. And I think our Lutheran forefathers saw education through the lens of holy baptism. That was very important to understanding that education should be for all people. Why? Because God chooses all people in baptism. There he places his name upon them, and that all the baptized, especially as we talk about the church, that all the baptized should have access to this kind of education. So where we had a system of education in the 16th century and leading up into that, where a classical education was kept away from the common person. It was for theologians. It was for lawyers, for doctors. Only those could be have this freedom of the mind. And so much of community couldn't have. Mm-hmm. But when the Lutherans thought about that education should be for all people, they began with a theology of baptism. Isn't that beautiful?
Well, it speaks volumes about what you're saying, that we're given to live in community, and education is a part of that and connects us to that community through holy baptism.
And we live out our God-given vocations as a baptized child of God, as a father, mother, teacher, son, daughter, student. Even before we get to the point of formation of children, there's the formation of that educator. Mm-hmm. And classical Lutheran education assumes that the educator knows a given topic and knows how to winsomely communicate that topic. Go through the work of lesson plans, maybe even writing his or her own tests, the dreaded pop quizzes here and there, and interacting with those primary texts and with the children using often the Socratic method of asking questions so that the child can have that aha light bulb moment, the joy of learning.
I'd like to add something to this community topic. Because I think, unfortunately, sometimes people misunderstand classical Lutheran education by saying that, well, studying Latin, you know, reading big, long books with many mm-hmm. pages, that sounds like that's an elitist kind of education. And I know you've had Cheryl Swope on here mm-hmm. before, but she very clearly not only in her book, Simply Classical, but also in her own practice with her own children, dispels that classical education is an education that is for all in the community, from those whose academic abilities may not be as much as they may not be able to go as far, so to speak, in their education as others, and nevertheless, because of this foundational Lutheran understanding of baptism and what community means and life together, what does that mean for us? And understanding that, then classical education seeks to educate all people. And Cheryl has written some wonderful things about for children who have all kinds of great learning disabilities, which I know every school struggles with. Mm-hmm. During National Lutheran Schools Week, as we think about the different kinds of students in our schools, we think of children who are very bright and they're the winners of the National Geography Bee and they're the ones that, you know, win the spelling contest. And then there are the kids who are delayed. Mm-hmm. There are the kids who can't spell. If you were to offer them all the money in the world, they couldn't spell. There are children who are delayed in their reading, children who have reversals of numbers, children that have trouble memorizing. They talk funny, people acute. You know, we have these children in our schools too. Classical education embraces all of these people. And it says, you are a poor, miserable sinner, saved by grace alone, through faith alone, on account of Christ alone, and God has shown you this in your baptism. Let's talk about that. And let's talk about your vocation in this world. What is God calling you? How is He calling you? Whether you're going to go to a college or not, how will God call you into vocation, into this community? How will you be a part of this holy church? And I think more so than any other place that I've spent time visiting with guys like Paul and Dr. Veith and so many others that are in our circles in the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education, I have that has really been driven home for me, mm-hmm. the joy of community in classical Lutheran education.
You brought up the next subject, and that is you're both a part of the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. What is the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education? What is the CCLE, and what do you do?
It's a very unique group. We have educators, whether they're home educators or church school-based educators, working together to promote classical and Lutheran education. And often you have groups artificially pitted against one another. Mm-hmm. In church circles, we might talk about an artificial distinction between faithfulness and mission. Well, our synod has a history of both. And our group has gotten along very well together. As you've heard from Pastor Kieser's background, he's seen the classroom, he's seen the administrator, and he's seen the dad as a home educator experience. And our primary goal is catechesis, Christ, and, like I mentioned yesterday, the Jesus numbers and letters. So that we have all the important parts for those children.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education is also an organization, mm-hmm. and we are a not-for-profit organization that was established in the early 2000s. It was established by a group of pastors and teachers and lay people who found themselves interested in the same thing, classical Lutheran education. And there wasn't a lot of conversation about it in general in other places. So we started to host an annual conference in the summer. The first conference was held in Colorado. And there began a series of conferences. And this coming year, we'll have conference number
14.
Conference number 14 this coming summer will be here in St. Louis at the Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. But that has kind of been our big thing, so mm-hmm. to speak. That's when the conversation happens. But the consortium has also branched out, and as an organization that's served by a board, has branched out and is trying to find ways to partner with not only individual educators, but also schools, so that we wish to partner with teachers. We wish to serve and partner with school administrators, school board members, and schools themselves as a whole, and of course, pastors. And we come together and find ways within the consortium that we can serve them. We're a service organization. And that includes home educators, because from our perspective, home educators are Lutheran educators. They mm-hmm. are home Lutheran educators. There are school Lutheran educators, but they are Lutheran educators. And the consortium has embraced all of Lutheran education in its various forms. Even one of our schools that we've recently partnered with, the Wittenberg Academy, is an online academy. Mm-hmm. So even while we're interested in things old, we take those ideas and concepts and we put them into modern context. So we have partnered with those kinds of people and serviced them. And some of the ways that we have serviced is not only through our national annual conference, but also through in-service trainings. We've developed an accreditation process whereby a school can go through this process. And the process is a process set up to help the school to understand what are we call them the marks of a classical Lutheran education. And our whole process is set up based on that document. We also have another document, key document for us, called the marks of a Lutheran educator. And classical Lutheran educator. And so with that document now, and we have just rolled this out this past summer, I think we went public with it, but we've done something that not too many are doing. We've developed our own accreditation or a certification for school teachers mm-hmm. that you there's a process. You can go to our website, contact our person who is in charge of that, and learn how you can be certified by the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education to be a certified classical Lutheran educator. And this is open to home educators, school educators, anybody.
With just a couple minutes left, with a conference coming up this summer, and I want to give our listeners a chance to find out more information about that, but with a conference up this summer, this July, for the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education, for someone who's not familiar with classical education at all, maybe an administrator or a teacher in a traditional Lutheran school, what might they find at this conference?
At the conference, they'll find other people who are exploring. Mm-hmm. They'll find sessions available for teachers, for administrators, for home educators, as well as people who have been doing this for years. We invite people to go to our website, www.ccle.org. You can find out more information as we have it about the summer conference. They can even register at the early bird rate if they get in by May 31st. We also have a seminary family rate for individuals on campus. Mm-hmm. On the website, they can also find information. They can read the marks, see what the accreditation or certification process is like, and they can see some of our other resources that we have available for free, as well as some that they can purchase. We have a brand new handbook for classical and Lutheran education. It's a best of articles from our journal. And we also have a resource guide that they can take a look at and see what classical Lutheran educators in home classrooms and church classrooms have used in order to teach the faith. But above all, support, mm-hmm. and people who know where they are, because we've been there.
Very good. Very good. The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education Conference this summer, the 14th conference, is Tuesday through Thursday, July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Language, Logic, and Lutheran Education is the topic. Well, we've been talking with the Reverend Paul Kane, pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and headmaster of Martin Luther Grammar School in Sheridan, Wyoming. Pastor Kane, good to have you in studio today.
Thank you very much.
And Reverend Stephen Kieser, pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church, Darmstadt, Evansville, Indiana, and homeschool dad, former Lutheran school educator, and now home Lutheran educator. Good to have you in studio today, Pastor Kieser.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.